Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
What do you get when you cross a know-it-all newspaper columnist with an awkward, unsophisticated everyman?
Yeah. Well, I'm just not sure about that right now.
Welcome to Couch and the Rue.
Welcome to Couch in the Rue, presented by Skymint Premium Cannabis, inspiring people to live better, love better, look better, and mostly feel better every damn day of their lives. And our Thursday night show, brought to you by our friends at Firekeepers Casino and the Firekeepers Eye Casino and Sportsbook. Download the Firekeepers Eye Casino and Sportsbook app today. Play the games we're betting. Keep losing money on the World Cup. It's like a donation to Firekeepers. Good for Michigan businesses. That's the way I've been treating it. Or this holiday season, go down to Firekeepers. Really cool in-house experience. Whether you're playing slots, table games, whatever it is, or going to Daisy's Sportsbook and Tap Room, outstanding experience. You don't need Vegas. It's right down here in Southwest Michigan in Battle Creek, right off I-94 at Firekeepers Casino and Sportsbook. Jason, how you doing, man?
Riding right up into my rectum, and it was painful.
What's up, buddy? Now, Chris Eastlick is saying Bryce Behringer, because he's watching the College Football Awards, because why not? He should be, right? Bryce Behringer did not win Punter of the Year?
Nah, the Rutgers guy did.
What Rutgers guy?
Yeah, the Rutgers
guy. Come on. Is it just because that, you know, I saw him all year?
Well, some of it.
What did Rutgers guy do?
Yeah, he was good. The Iowa punter was good. They're good. The Big Ten had a lot of good punters. But no, there's no question that, I mean, for much of the, I mean, he, first of all, Bryce Behringer won the yardage total or average by quite a bit. At one point, he was on pace to break the record. And it wasn't just like he was kicking booming punts. He was really good in most situations as well. So
I had a very hard, high sharp rerun, whatever that means. 111.8 punter EPA.
Yeah, I don't really get it.
I don't get it either.
I don't know what else you got to do but play on a team with shitty offense and be a good punter. Like, it seemed like he did it all.
Adam Corsack won from Rutgers.
Good for him.
Yeah.
So
Corsack.
Yeah, I don't know who
never got picked on in school, I'm guessing.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah, that probably didn't go well in middle school, especially. Yeah, no, for sure.
Poor guy.
For sure. We are going to dig into your Groovy Donut Twitter questions here momentarily, but as we do with all of our Thursday night shows, we begin with what we are betting this weekend, presented by Firekeepers iCasino and Sportsbook app. Jason, what are you laying your money on this weekend?
Usually you remind me before the show. You didn't today.
I didn't. Sorry.
So go first.
Okay, I will go first. Yeah, apologies. Well, I got to make up for some things because, of course, I have Iowa State. And while we're doing this, Iowa State's down 20 at the half. It's one of those things where Iowa playing without its best player, without Chris Murray, is just can't miss, right? That's what happens. And, you know, college basketball and the home crowd takes over and whatever. It's at Iowa against Iowa State, and I had Iowa State plus +3. It's going horribly. So that means I need the Netherlands tomorrow at 2 o'clock against Argentina, plus +253 on the money line. That's where I'm at. I think this is a pretty even matchup. Argentina's missing one key guy. Argentina's missing one key guy. I think this is
I think the money here, when you look at some of the underlying metrics and stats, the money is on Argentina because of the Messi and sort of the hope that he'll win a World Cup. And I don't think they're better than the Netherlands. I don't. And or much better. Certainly not to be plus 253. That's my value play for Friday at 2 o'clock. And on the weekend, in early tomorrow, though most people may not have listened to this, I'm throwing Brazil on some money lines. But on the weekend, I am betting against my heritage and my heart and betting France on the money line plus 137 against England on Saturday. So there's that.
High stakes.
Yeah, and look, I've been losing money left and right. Spain just crushed me in this World Cup.
You have to win at some point, right? Can I just you go 0-for World Cup?
I mean, I've won
a few. It's 9 weeks long.
I need a few. I just need this damn thing to end. I need to get to Boxing Day the day after Christmas so the Premier League comes back and I can get back in my wheelhouse because this shit is killing
me.
What
do they do on Boxing Day?
It's when they give gifts. The idea was they give gifts to, like, their servants and stuff. That was the whole idea behind it, I believe.
Can you say servant in 2022?
Of course you can.
Oh, all right.
Why couldn't you?
I just want to make sure.
Yeah. I mean, so it's a paid position, right?
Staff? You say so.
You give it to your staff, I guess, would be the proper word. All right. Is there anything you think at this point you're going to play this week?
I really like the Jets plus 10. Mike White showed me something
and
last
And this is
week.
Against Buffalo?
Against Buffalo, at Buffalo. 10-point. I've always been hammering the double-digit spreads. I've been taking the points all season long, and it's been working. So I got to stick with staying with taking 10 points with the Jets.
Well,
I trust their D.
Yeah, no, I don't hate it. I don't.
Von Miller's out for the year.
It's a lot of points, and I think the Jets are a pretty complete roster with a better situation at quarterback than they had not very long ago.
Well, and the Texans are getting 17.5. I mean, these guys are still professional players, right? I mean, obviously you could see the Cowboy. I could see it going both ways. Okay, I just fell into the stout thing. You know what? It wouldn't surprise me. Okay, the Cowboys won. But it wouldn't shock me.
That's a pretty good impression. Your stout is one of your better ones.
He always said, you know what? I don't hear it. When you do an impression of me, I don't hear it. Okay.
Fantastic.
All right, let's get to these before we get out of here at 1 a.m.
Yeah. We'll, it's not even that late. Most people. The funny thing is, most people listen to this not live. They have no idea what
time
this is.
I just like to complain.
I know. It's good.
It's fun.
It's good. All right, let's dig into these Groovy Donut Twitter questions.
All right, Eric Schultz up first. Should I be excited that this team has some dogs on it? Frustrated by the fact that if they had a big man who wasn't lost on every defensive and offensive possession, they'd be a Final Four contender.
He's talking about the MSU basketball team. I usually add that in there for people.
What's up with Maddie, man?
He's not been good lately. It was a tough matchup. He got in a little bit of foul trouble. And Penn State is a team that plays, they play one big guy who's a young guy, a freshman himself. But they play a lot of guards. They play, you know, it's an offense that, when done right, can lose you. And Maddie gets lost. And Maddie gets lost, especially without Malik Hall.
Malik Hall needs to come back.
If they had a really good big man, I would like to say that they'd be in, you know, better shape. But Iowa State tonight has been complete ass, and they have the big guy that everybody wants. They're down 20 to Iowa at halftime. So who knows what's what, you know? You can get that guy and be down fucking 20 at halftime. Sorry, gambling related.
We're dropping MFers now?
But, I do think that you should be heartened by what you saw at Penn State. Like, that was a response game. That was a game where it
started off bad.
It did, but, you know, you're playing a team that was treating that as a huge game. And there was a quote from Micah Shrewsbury, the Penn State coach that I didn't use in any of my columns, where he just said, you know, I mean, to tell you how big a game it was, he goes, we get one shot at Michigan State every year, one shot, and we weren't quite ready for the moment. Like, that, they view this, Michigan State's brand does not help them in games sometimes. They walk into places, and it's, for teams like Penn State and Northwestern and Notre Dame, it is a massive marquee opponent walking onto their home floor or a shot they're getting. But I thought, you know, what you saw from A.J. Hogard and what you saw from Hauser and Tyson Walker, especially last night, was some real gumption.
So how much do you love Micah Shrewsbury? Because basically, you know, those coaches that are open and honest, the Mike Leeches and guys that just want to, you know, it's easier to write stuff after the game, right?
Totally. I would never miss a Penn State game. Because He writes half my column for
me. I read it today, and I'm like, yeah, Graham's got to love that dude.
Oh, he's incredible. Because he doesn't just give you bullshit.
Like, campy.
And he won't, and he'll tell you, one of the reasons he has credibility to me, and I feature him in a column, is because when there's something a team doesn't do well, like last year, I wrote a column using him quite a bit last year. Because he was honest about what Michigan State didn't have. When a lot of people are like, oh, that's still Michigan State, they're gutsy, they do all this. No, he was pretty blunt about the things they didn't have on their roster last year and broke it down and how that hurt them. And so that gives him the credibility this year when he says certain things that they have. You listen to it a little more.
Next one from Eric. Graham, you've said numerous times that if all goes well, MSU could be a top four Big Ten team and contend for a Sweet 16. As a man who is paid for his opinions, how do you never follow that up by saying that after two terrible years, that's an unacceptable ceiling for this program?
So the word unacceptable is a trigger word for me. I don't like it. I don't like it because it's. I remember.
Good thing you told everyone.
Yeah, because unacceptable is very. It's harsh, and I had a situation with a page designer when I was the outdoors editor back in 2005 in Kalamazoo, where I did something very hastily to get off to cover something else, and I was just filling in, and I thought it was fine, and nobody gave me shit for. Direction or anything like, and the guy called it unacceptable, and I nearly went off on him and bit his head off.
You wrote about the outdoors?
I was the outdoors editor. I had to put together the section.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and the designer wasn't. Anyway, he was a guy who was a little full
unacceptable.
Himself. Yeah. Anyway, so, but I don't think the last 2 years. I mean, if Michigan State gets to the point that two straight NCAA tournament bids, even if they were teams that were barely better than bubble teams, one was truly a bubble team. Is ever to the point that that's unacceptable in that term, then I hope the whole program goes away and dies. I hope the program burns down. Like, people are so full of themselves in terms of what the program should be, I don't want the program to exist. They have not been two great years. There's no question about that. But I wouldn't say that they were terrible years, and I wouldn't say that that a Sweet 16, contending for a Sweet 16, should ever be an unacceptable ceiling for any individual team. I do think that if they did not have the class they had coming in, so say they were really struggling in recruiting, there would be reason for concern. But, you know, would you like to if you're a Michigan State fan, have there been slightly better times? Have there been better stretches? Absolutely there have.
Don't coach my team.
But I don't think these last 2 years were terrible, and the word unacceptable triggers me.
Yeah, Dominic, don't use unacceptable. Eric Schultz with this one. You mentioned Rex Road was in East Lansing a few weeks ago. If I had known that ahead of time, I would have placed the betting odds on Joe visiting the Peanut Barrel at -4,000 and bet my mortgage on it. Would I have won money?
Yeah, that's a Graham 2009 bet, and you would have won money. I actually met Joe briefly at the Peanut Barrel a night that we did this show. I went there for 25 minutes and had a beer with him and Dan Kilbridge, and they were hanging out at the Peanut Barrel. So, yep. But I don't know if that was even his only visit, but he definitely was there one night when he was here.
Next one from Dominic. Since Graham, who is tight-lipped as the CIA, violated bro code and doctor-patient confidentiality by revealing my DM to him on air, will he tell me what Brian Windhorst did to Joe Rexroad?
No, I can't do that. I'm sorry, Dominic. I didn't realize there was a bro code on that. If I thought it was something that was off the record, I would have.
Well, you said he slid into your DMs. That's not how you say it.
Yeah.
Made it awkward.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah. Apologies, Dominic. Everything else that comes in the DMs from you will be confidential.
Cockburn.
Next one from Dominic. Graham, piping off about Spain's lack of offense is rich. What if I told you that Spain's offensive coordinator didn't have his best day and he's been okay at times? Or, sure, the World Cup wasn't great, but how about that prolific 2014 offense? Hurts, doesn't it, Couch?
All fair. All fair. And most of my angst with Spain is that I...
Gambling related.
Yeah. Totally. It's that's the difference.
That's what you have to preface it with.
Yeah.
We all understand.
Gambling related. And my frustration tonight with Iowa State is gambling related. And the fact that Iowa football screwed me so badly. Like, Iowa basketball, some can't miss without their best player, but Iowa football can't do shit. Screw you, Iowa.
Next one from Dominic. Can we please hire Gavin Haas as an intern just for the brain cramps? I thought the 34th Devontae Dobbs memento moment was bad. I almost broke my phone during the Alex Smith gate. Do better, Graham Corso.
It's fair. It's also, I will say that the Rube over here is no help. I mean, I'm, you know, you're just throwing out random names of people that you know aren't it. It's
Alex Smith, though.
Yeah, it was rough. That was bad.
That's a fun bit. Jimmy, up next. If we could go back in time to the MSU-Indiana game, center the ball for the final kick and win that game, which bowl game would have taken the Spartans? Which scenario is better, no bowl or the one they would have went to?
Well, if they had earned a bowl, and it would have felt like they earned a bowl a little bit.
No bowl.
No, you think no bowl?
No bowl.
Okay.
5-7, it's embarrassing.
Okay.
Regroup. You can't even practice with guys. I don't care about the
practice. No. If they had beaten Indiana, they would have been 6-6. It would not have been.
Oh, he's saying 6-6. I got
right,
you.
Right. So, I mean, there are a number.
Nah.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the guaranteed rate bowl with Wisconsin, it might have been the one in Phoenix. That would have been the best one. You're playing Oklahoma State. You know, the problem with all these teams are, like, losing their best players before the game anyway. But that game's out in Phoenix. The Duke's Mayo Bowl, which took Maryland, I think would have been. And I think if they had beaten Indiana and then put up even the fight they did against Penn State where they didn't have enough but they got it close, whatever, I think people would have felt like the close to the season was admirable, and they would have supported a bowl game and sort of looked forward to seeing this team in a bowl game. I'm not saying it would have been helpful, though. One thing I am noticing is, I mean, this, and I think the calendar is going to change, but it is chaos right now with the transfer portal and recruiting classes. I mean, I can't even believe some coaches would even make staff changes unless you are sure you're getting rid of a guy before December 21st, because there's so much going on right now. Unless you know a guy's not helping you in recruiting and you think the guy you're bringing in might, there is... You want to be real careful with that right now. I mean,
are you trying to tell everyone that everyone's coming back?
I'm not saying that. I don't know what'll happen.
Is that
happen.
What you're getting to, though?
I'm saying nobody will be gone before December 21st.
Shit.
Like, you got recruits yesterday tweeting about, like people say, well, does Harlan Barnett belong coming back in the secondary and all this stuff? I don't know, but they got four-star recruits thanking Harlan Barnett for the home visit yesterday. Probably don't want to do anything. You know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of stuff that's going on right now, and it's a chaotic time, and I'm not sure – preparing for a third-tier bowl helps. I do think if they had won that game, though, just collectively people would think differently about a bowl game, and it would have been either the Duke's Mayo Bowl in Charlotte. Probably they would have gotten chosen over Maryland, or even losing to Maryland, or the Guaranteed Rate Bowl in Phoenix. You know, trying to think who else might have. Man, not the Music City Bowl. It's probably one of those two games that I would guess they would be at.
Next up, Mr. Ben Jen. Doesn't this multi-sport MSU fan freak out, which you argue is due to Michigan's football success, just mean that MSU fans will always want Michigan to lose more than they want to see the Spartans win?
This is our Cosmic Fries question of the day, presented by Hopcat, which is the best damn beer bar world famous. Cosmic Fries, formerly known as Crack Fries, because, well, that was an apt name for them. And mouth-watering, award-winning burgers, including the Peyton Thorne burger. And what they do well, of course, is partnering with local craft breweries and or beer partners to make it feel like a local craft brewery. And that is something they do really well at Hopcat, no matter whether you're in East Lansing or Grand Rapids, Ann Arbor, Detroit, Indianapolis, no matter where you are. Lots of TVs to watch the game. Great place to watch Michigan State basketball against Brown this weekend. Catch an MSU hockey game against Michigan. Anything like that, Hopcat is a great spot to spend it, and fantastic menu, and I'm telling you, try the crack fries at some point. To get into the Mr. Benjen's question here, I don't think that MSU fans will always want Michigan to lose more than they want Michigan State to win, but I think it's relative to what Michigan State's playing in and what Michigan's playing in. If Michigan football is in the playoff, and there's a fear that they're going to win a national championship, and what that does to the dynamics in that rivalry.
And MSU's in a shit bowl. Yeah.
Or
you're going to root whoever's playing Michigan for, like, way harder.
Right. But if it was reversed, or if they were in two equal situations, I think it's the situation that creates the environment and how people feel about that. I don't think it's necessarily an always thing, but I think right now Michigan State fans would trade a lot of wins in a lot of sports to make sure Michigan did not win a national title.
And how many fans root for both?
Oh, what?
Right? Like, if you're a fan of Michigan or Michigan State, there's no way in hell right?
Well, I don't think so. I don't think
some old ladies or something. You know,
I think it's all how threatened you feel. If you don't feel like if Michigan were playing in,
I don't feel threatened. You mean like physically?
No, but no, just sort of as is your program versus their program.
Yeah, okay.
So if Michigan were playing in the Guaranteed Rate Bowl, for example, and we're 7-5, I don't think MSU fans would give two shits if they won that game. But
if they did lose, wouldn't suck.
And if Michigan State were in, you know, the Rose Bowl, the Michigan State fans would want to win that. If they were in the playoff, more than they'd care if Michigan were losing. So it's all relative to what's going on with the programs. And right now, it's a multi-sport fan freakout for good reason. I mean, I think football is what churns the soul of both programs because partly it churns the soul of Michigan fans. I mean, Michigan's got a really underachieving bad basketball team right now, largely, that just lost its point guard for the year. And those fans don't care, and they'll tell you. They'd sign up every year to go 0-30 in hoops to be anywhere near the football playoff without question. And I had to explain this to somebody the other day because, you know, people nationally, Michigan basketball is a huge brand. But in this state, it's number 8 of the 8 major teams, talking about Pistons, Tigers, Red Wings, Lions, Michigan, Michigan State football, Michigan, Michigan State basketball. Michigan basketball is number 8, and it is not even close in terms of overall interest. And Michigan fan, and that's because it doesn't stir the soul of Michigan fans the way football does. And then subsequently, it matters to Michigan State fans. That impacts how Michigan State fans deal with the rivalry as well.
Little American champ next. Given everything you know, what percent chance would you give Mel Tucker making any staff changes at all? Love the show. Hashtag caw caw.
I would put over 50% they don't return intact. I would say
sounds like 100% what you just said. I don't know
that they're coming back. No,
the guys are on Twitter and you know.
But think about when the Ron Burton thing happened last year. That was January. You know it.
How can you forget about the Ron Burton?
How can you forget? Never forget.
Graham just keeps reminding you.
Hashtag never forget.
Hashtag. Andrew Gauthier next. In your recent takes, you seem to be dissecting Jackson Kohler's play pretty minutely versus a guy like Sissoko. Is there a reason for that? We knew Kohler was a skilled big man who would need time to adjust to the Big Ten ball, right?
I think that's minutely, but close.
Minutely. What did I say? Minutely?
Close. Yeah, no, I mean, I've been doing these, you know, I do these freshman takes, and I was obviously getting some criticism on this show about the freshman thoughts or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I do think I will make them a little more sparse once we get to Big Ten play. In these last 3 non-conference games where they're playing teams they ought to beat and the freshmen and beat handily and the freshmen may play larger roles, I think those freshman takes work. I think once we get into January, if those guys are playing, you know, if they're not interesting to people, then I'll, you know, go in other directions or only do those takes when they have a game that sort of warrants discussion. Yeah, no, I don't think anything's wrong with what Jackson Play is doing. That's just part of the job is to break down people and how they're I don't think he's playing below expectations. I mean, I thought he'd be a little – he's had some trouble. I talked to him about this last night and didn't use any of it, made later. Because he was, you know, he finally was a little bit of a presence in the post. He wasn't a force yet or anything, but he was, you know, you saw his footwork. He made a couple buckets, but he's been leaving the ball short as if like the rim is higher than it was in the high school game. And he talked about that a little bit, just how it's taken him a minute to he just needs to see that go in. You can see all the skills there, and so I didn't think that would be an issue for him, and it has been. But this is Big Ten basketball, and he's got an important role on the team, so I think it's okay to judge him.
It's actually minutely. Nice try.
I love donuts.
The dick. Andrew Gauthier, how much more confident are you about the Manziere bet after the Penn State win?
Oh, I feel a lot better.
He's doing push-ups in the hotel room.
I stopped doing. In fact, pre-game, I was doing push-ups. Post-game, I was eating donuts because I just felt that much.
Because I love donuts.
That much better about the whole thing. Yeah, I mean, look, they looked even shorthanded, and I think Aikens helps. They looked like an NCAA tournament team. That was a road win that's going to wind up being a quad one win. Penn State is just outside of that realm right now. And so hopefully I'll be able to enjoy more Groovy Donuts, fewer push-ups. And by the way, Groovy Donuts this week is featuring two holiday favorites, the Snowman and the White Chocolate Candy Cane Bar. Gluten-free and vegan options are available for each of these tasty pastries. And back by popular demand, Groovy Donuts will continue to offer the dark chocolate candy cane old-fashioned. You can visit groovydonuts.com and click the online store to place your order. And it's always good to pre-order these. You can also visit either Groovy Donuts location, that's on Lake Lanting Road in East Lansing, or in Williamston. And they're open 7 a.m. to 1 p.m. Thursday through Sunday. So this week, they have the two holiday favorites, the Snowman and White Chocolate Candy Cane Bar. And, of course, backed by popular demand, the dark chocolate candy cane old-fashioned at Groovy Donuts. All right. Back to your Groovy Donut Twitter questions.
Well, speaking of, Andrew Gauthier with this one. Graham, can you drop the Hallmark movie shtick? It really hurts your credibility in promoting soccer as a sport.
Beggars can't be choosers, man. I gotta.
Sure as shit doesn't help.
You gotta be genuine. You gotta be true to yourself because it's not a shtick.
Just when you're like, you know what, Graham isn't that big of a douche. And then you say that and you're like, oh, shit, he is. It's unbelievable.
It's not a shtick. I'm true to my heart. I like some Hallmark movies. Not all. No, there are a lot of bad Hallmark movies.
No.
Bad Netflix, Christmas
Baxter,
movies.
Bernie.
And if you go down to the Lifetime stuff, it gets worse and worse. They get cheaper. The budget gets less. You always know the budget of is low in a Hallmark movie by the talent of the child actors. Even if they have bit parts, it's like, ah, they just hired somebody's relative. That's rough. You can tell. Like, even in my favorite.
How you have Yelp reviews for child actors. Why would you give a shit?
Well, Snowed In Christmas, which is one of my favorites. The kid actor is only a small part, like the niece. I mean, she's freaking awful. I mean, it's just like how did they cast this? There's not got to be a kid somewhere who costs like $50 who would be better than this.
Tony Dombrowski could play it.
Really, I would gladly sub in because the movie is fantastic. I mean, there's some unrealistic stuff with newspaper metrics, but otherwise, no. The movie's fantastic. Other than the child actress.
Andrew, with this one, can people who complain about not enough scoring in soccer recognize that a single score in football counts as 7 points? So a 21-point game in football is equivalent to a 3-goal soccer game.
It's a good point. Really, you've only scored 3 times.
All right.
It's fair. It's a fair point, though. If people bring up there's not enough scoring, then you really need, like, you're unhappy in a football game that's 21-14.
The only thing soccer has going for it is it's 2 hours. It's tight.
The
extra time thing is kind of ridiculous, but, you know, I just don't watch. I don't know. Go ahead and watch. Andrew and Jarrett have this one. Who's your new favorite to win the World Cup after the Spain debacle? And do you think the USA will make the Final Four in your lifetime?
I like France. Obviously, they got to get past England this weekend, but I do like France. In my lifetime, so what do I got left? 7-8 years? So it's maybe 2 World Cups? No. I do think they'll have a run sometime, hopefully in my lifetime, where they play in a final or they're in a semi, or it feels like they have the team that can do it. Whether they actually do, it takes a lot of luck. But I do feel like at some point they made enough progress, and you can see it, that we'll get there.
Next one from Mark. Do you think Spain should have advanced at the World Cup since they would be favored against a bunch of the remaining teams?
By the way, I didn't realize just how many World Cup ones I put high up in the show. I apologize to people who care nothing about soccer like Jason.
That's all right.
But there's a lot of more Michigan State hoops and football coming up. I love this stuff. I could talk World Cup soccer all day, and I love that some of our listeners do too. I just know not everybody's into it. Spain should have. I mean, they just it drove me nuts. I mean, Morocco was fantastic defensively, but Spain has enough talent that there's zero excuse that they're not still around.
Next one from Mark. Why are college sports determined by old people sitting in hotel boardrooms?
It's a great question. There's a lot of shit. A lot of
I love when they cut to those guys. They're just sitting in chairs, and people are like, why aren't they writing anything down? What are you doing? Do they even get to, like, have a beer or anything cool? You just sit there in a... It's like a library.
I would love for you to be on the college football playoff committee, just stoned out of your mind. making the case for...
I couldn't hurt it anymore.
Making the case for Utah or somebody like that when nobody else is there. You'd be... Because
they won my parlay for me.
Passing Skyman around the room. It would be absolutely...
Loosen those guys up there.
Yeah, it'd be fantastic.
JD, next. If MSU lands the NC State quarterback from the portal, how many quarterbacks on the current roster transfer out?
Yeah, how many years does he have left? Hold on. Give me some Hoff real quick.
Hoff.
Feliz Navidad. Peacock. Feliz Navidad.
Free Ubers.
Feliz Navidad. Prospero año y felicidad.
Woo!
Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad.
Prospero. Okay, so he's got 1 year. I mean, certainly if he came in you're probably losing a couple. I don't know that you lose Caden Hauser. He's only going to be a sophomore next year. But, you know, it's Devin Leary is the name, by the way. And I don't know where, you know, I don't know what his decision-making process is or where he is. And I don't know that Michigan State, again, I don't think Michigan State's looking in the portal for a quarterback. And as I say that, they'll probably get one tomorrow. Because I do think they like Hauser, and I do think they like their quarterback room, and I do think how you manage a quarterback room is really important in building a college football team. It's harder to do than it used to be because guys don't have to sit out. So I would be surprised if they added a quarterback.
JD, next. Was letting Ron Burton go the right move? Rush defense fell considerably this year, but could be just depth related.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a great question. I think Ron Burton's a really good football coach. I think it was helpful to Michigan State for a lot of years, and there was something there that didn't click. There was, you know, they wanted to do the thing with Brandon Jordan, it's a good question how much it affected them. I think we find out a little over time. I think it's hard to say after a 1 year sample size something is coaching because the personnel changes. So I don't know.
So they replaced Burton with Jordan. Right,
essentially. I mean, I mean,
a lot of schools would have loved to have Brandon Jordan there.
Right.
So, I mean, it's not like Ron Burton lost his job to someone that was just.
Well, but
it was an upgrade.
I don't know if it was.
It's fine to say that.
I don't know that it was. He was a pass rush specialist, and it wasn't like they didn't have another defensive line coach. They brought
Brandon Jordan's getting guys, Michigan guys, coming into his camps, even though he's a Philly. It's wild the guys that he gets there.
And they brought in Marco Coleman. I think they're fine there. I don't think it's an issue, but I think he's a good coach. And I just think it takes if the defensive line, which was a strength for Michigan State for Ron Burton's entire tenure as the head coach or as the defensive line coach, doesn't return to being a strength for Michigan State, then it was the wrong move. That's all I'll say. I mean, over time, that needs to be a strength. Michigan State football, like Wisconsin with offensive lines, Michigan State and its defensive line ability to shut down the run has to be part of the staple identity of the program. I don't think they can win otherwise. And so if that doesn't reverse itself in the next couple of years, then it was a mistake. Now, that can also be talent. That can also be coaching elsewhere. That can be a lot of things. But look at the defensive lines and how good they were against the run when Ron Burton was the coach. Now, they were not always a great pass rush team, so I mean, and they now have a specialist there as well. So I just think it's too early to know.
JD, next with this one. If the Real Upper Deck Jerk guy ever won the Hopcat gift card, would you move him up in the show, or would you keep him at the end and leave everyone in suspense?
He's almost disqualified because of his anonymity.
How would you send it to him?
Right. It would have to be like
a P.O. box?
A P.O. box. It'd be like me in 1996, you know, some guy named Todd Peterson.
Next to his Playboys.
Yeah.
Oh, there's a gift card.
You know, BMG and Columbia House CDs.
Why don't we give him one? Just to see.
We could leave it somewhere, you know, under a... It would be like
No, he's got to get it.
We don't want to know who he is.
I do. I won't say anything.
Well, it'd be almost like a Russian spy thing.
I've met Solari before.
We'll leave it under a bridge in a park somewhere. Shadowy corner.
Alex James next. I'm waiting for Magic to weigh in on the Mazi Smith situation with one of his patented tweets, such as, "What the young man did was wrong, but I can see how he made the mistake." Irvin Stout. Okay. Irvin. Irvin's in town. Me and Irvin having lunch.
I would actually not be surprised if that was the exact tweet that happened at some point.
Why not? LeBron James is good at basketball. Alex James, with the transfer portal looking like a purge film, who out there should MSU be targeting to make their team more competitive against the big boys?
Well, in terms of individual names of people, there, I mean, just Monday alone, there were, 450 people in the new people in the transfer portal. I don't know exactly who is they have their eyes on and think is smart to go get. But the one thing I would try to do, and it's very hard to do, and they may get some guys like J.D. Duplain back and all that, but I would – there aren't a lot of offensive linemen out there, but I would work on that. And if you could get yourself a couple veteran offensive linemen – look, they got it with Jarrett Horst, and it worked for at times and not in others, and guys have issues and whatever. But if you could – because if you could wind up with one really quality offensive lineman and you brought in a couple, that could make a difference as you try to – build this line and bring these young guys along. I would spend some effort trying to get that to happen, even though there aren't a lot of those guys out there.
Alex James, with this one. How do you make, or what do you make of Foster Lawyer being among college basketball scoring leaders?
It's awesome. And he found a fit at Davidson, right? I mean, that's...
Are we supposed to still hate him or something?
No, I don't think people do.
I'm happy for him.
It just didn't work at Michigan State. It didn't work in the Big Ten. Sometimes you find your level. And it was Davidson is a good fit for him. It's a great offense for him. It's not a place where his defensive shortcomings lead him to go to the bench. And so that's another thing that helps.
Wallace next. Was Izzo asked why he decided to go zone the last three possessions?
Yeah, we talked about this last night. He basically said it was his staff that brought up the idea. They were having trouble preventing dribble penetration, and they just thought this, and they barely, on one of the possessions, Penn State shot really quickly. You had to go back and watch it to realize it was a zone, which is a good zone. You don't always want, the idea of a zone is not that sometimes it's not as obvious, but I guess it qualifies as zone. I asked Joey Hauser about it. Charbonneau might have asked Hauser. One of us asked Hauser about it, and Hauser was like, yeah, we sort of played it. I don't think they certainly hadn't worked on it in a while.
Max Spade next. How much does Jackson Kohler remind you of early Gabe Brown with tantalizing offensive potential and clueless defense?
Oh, they're just such different players. Here's the other difference is, Gabe Brown was never a really overly, I don't want to say overly cerebral player because that means it sounds like he's a dumb kid, but Jackson Kohler he sees the game so much differently than Gabe did. And I was a huge, Gabe was one of my favorite people to cover, just a nice kid. And I thought he was going to be better than he was, and it didn't really come to fruition. But I've never thought of that comparison.
Max Spade with this one. Jason, some might call Graham a home team apologist. Is that a fair criticism? Well, if you weren't working for the LSJ, let's say you weren't a columnist, weren't in sports whatsoever, what college team would you root for?
I'd be some mid-major somewhere, Southern Illinois or Wichita State or...
See, that's
Illinois
the wrong
State.
Answer. He is big Michigan State fan.
That's bullshit. But I appreciate you.
He is a spin master, though.
No, here's what I would say to this. Is I try to bring reasonability to a space that is often unreasonable. Mm. And so you're countering people a lot. And the other thing that happens is, what fun is it if all I do is agree? Like, what is it? If everything you guys... wrote when you were frustrated, I was just like, yep, you're right. Fuck it. Fire Izzo.
what a terrible bit. Yeah.
I'd be like, oh, shit, well, I guess that's it. That's the last couch in the room. The dialogue doesn't really work. I don't know.
Yeah. Ken Chu next. Everything's okay now, right? No man bra bet for Graham, or no man bra for Graham. Jesus, it's hot in here. Reinforcements from the football team will compete for the Big Ten, make the tourney, and Small Meteor will strike Ann Arbor.
It all comes down to what happens with Michigan football. Because if Michigan football were to win a national championship, Michigan State fans would just bury their heads. And for good reason. There would be a lot of Michigan fans who would be insufferable.
It would end friendships.
Oh, it would be. I mean, think of your friend Jordan Mack, our friend on this show.
That's good. Why I said it would end friendships.
Yeah. Good guy. How what would good he be guy. Like? What would he be like to deal with if they won?
Intolerable.
Yeah.
Intolerable. Yes. Yeah. After the Ohio State game, I told you, I said, "Hey, man, you know what? That was a hell of a game by Michigan. Harbaugh had a game plan. Congrats." And he just shows me his money line bet for Michigan. And, you know, whatever. I get it. But
I'll say this.
They win a championship. It's, oh, my God.
Just in case it happens, and when those games are coming up and when you're watching them, and if they're probably going to beat TCU and you're going to be nervous if you're a Michigan State fan about that championship game, Skymint is the way to go. Like, stock up. This week, featured deals through the 12th of December. With Skymint Reserve, they got buy two, get one free, all sorts of mix and match on edibles and eights and pre-rolls. Lots of good stuff. Go to skymint.com for location information, and you can get these specials emailed right to you. They'll deliver Skymint to you, or Skymint will deliver to you in most communities around the state. Again, go to skymint.com, see if you are one of those communities, or just swing by any location. Even if Skymint has not been your thing and you're thinking, holy shit, Michigan is in the college football playoff. They've got the team that might win this. This is the time to start with edibles or cannabis. Skymint will walk you through your journey. And if it's your first time, you can use the Couch and the Rube promo code Couch and Rube 20 for 20% off.
Ben Owen next. In college, why is a holder not ruled down when their knee is down on a field goal or a fake field goal attempt? Especially on a fake, they literally stand up or lateral a ball while they are down.
I had never thought about this until I saw it. It's a good question.
I need to see video. Let's see a fake.
Well, hold on. So what he's saying is, why are they not down when their knee is down on a field goal? Like, in other words, you snap the ball to them. And when they catch it, their knee is down. Like, any other player would be down in college football because their knee is down.
Yeah, but it's a field goal formation, I guess.
That's
a rule during a field goal.
Yeah, it's very specific to that formation. But it is a good question and one that...
But what I'm saying, with a fake, maybe the knee is up by the time he catches the ball. I don't know.
I don't think it is, but that's a good question. It's a really good question.
I don't think it is. Graham watched every fake field goal.
But it would be funny if like, the next time a running back slipped and their knee was down, he just no, I was just gonna hold it for, and this guy was gonna come and kick it, we were gonna do an on the fly field goal. I don't know if that would be
hilarious. Yeah. Sports guy 1919, how do you avoid eating 5,000 calories after taking an edible?
Sometimes I don't. It's
the beatus for me. I just know how terrible I'll feel when blood sugar gets high, so that's what helps me.
It is,
but if I didn't have the beatus, it would be, oh my God, 600-pound life.
I think about how I'll feel in the morning. That's what I try to do. Because when I make great decisions after 7 p.m. diet-wise, I feel fantastic when the day begins. And the whole day is just better.
Yes.
So that's what I try to remind myself is...
Don't eat after 9.
Yeah. Live the evening for the morning. Yes. And sometimes I can, you know... Now, sometimes Raccoon Graham comes out and it doesn't matter. And that Skymint is running through the veins. And
young guys or young people are listening to this and going, you old timers. But yeah, you're going to get here soon.
Oh, yeah.
And you're going to be working for the morning in the evening.
Yeah, yeah.
Because if you eat at midnight, ooh.
Oh, yeah, it's not good.
Sports guy 1919. Oh, shit. Yeah, 1919. How many losses will the Big Ten champ have in basketball this year?
It's a good question. I can't tell. Like, Purdue at times looks almost dominant. And Illinois at times.
Is everyone 6-2?
No, I don't think so. Hold on. Let me pull up the Big Ten standings. 1 second.
Feliz Navidad. Woo! Come on, A-hole a lot.
Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Prospero.
Never going to financially recover from this.
Feliz Navidad.
Cockburn.
Feliz Navidad.
Okay. You do, I mean, the problem is I love that song so much that I find something and I just want to listen. It's not even... And I know I only get this 1 month a year when Jason will play it. So, and to be fair to Jason,
I'll play this one.
Everybody's okay. Yeah, yeah. It's not great.
You'll get to that quick, won't you?
So Purdue is 9-0, and Illinois is another team that there was. I mean, 7-2, even though they lost the other night.
What are some other records?
What I can't tell yet is if Purdue Is anybody going to be dominant that can go 16-4? I don't know. I'm going to say 5 losses. Somebody's going to be good enough to do it at 15-5. I don't think it's going to be one of those years where a bunch of teams are 13-7 or 14-6. And I thought that might be the case for a while. I think a couple teams will emerge here, but 5 losses, I'll say.
Jonathan B. next. They're different players, but isn't there a comparison between Bingham's first games last year and Sissoko's this year in this in regards to how it's raised our hopes?
Yeah, I mean, the only difference is we had seen some things from Bingham before, but you're right. I mean, Bingham's trajectory was a little different because you saw some things in other years that Sissoko didn't show. But that's not horrible. The one thing that's different is, and Izzo will tell you this pretty bluntly because he has sort of spoken in code about Bingham on this, like Sissoko is a sponge, and you tell him something and he will do it. And you have not seen Sissoko take a lot of bad shots. He's taken a few turnarounds, but they don't hate some of those. Whereas Bingham, they could tell him, look, this is what we need from you. And he would still hang out around the 3-point line and shoot. So I think they're just different guys in that standpoint, but I do know what you mean by it.
Next one from Jonathan. When Graham gets his retirement to Mill, what college team will he root for?
Oh, here's that. Oh, nice.
You did these.
That's right.
Why are you surprised by what's next?
Sometimes I forget. It would be a mid-major. I'd want to suffer, and I'd want to go someplace where the tickets were cheap, and I had great seats. I love mid-major hoops. It would be a mid-major somewhere where a town cared about it, like a Bloomington, Illinois State, Missouri Valley type school, where there was kind of a big school feel, but a still a mid-major
deal. Is everything a vacation pamphlet with you? I mean, you just set the scene of all...
Pretty much.
See on a vacation.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Plus, if I've only got $2 million to retire and I'm not going to make income again, I've got to live someplace like Terre Haute or someplace like that where I can actually afford to live.
Just gamble. $100 a day.
That'll help.
Matt Boone next. If Graham could get any tattoo, what would it be? Same for Jason. If you got another, what would the next one be?
Yeah, I mean, caw-caw on the back. I don't know. I don't know what...
That's what you can get instead of the man's ear.
Man's ear.
Caw, yeah. If you get caw-caw tattooed on your body somewhere,
yeah,
you can get out of it.
Unless
the listeners say otherwise. I think that's a good out.
Yeah, I've thought about this at times, because I don't think I'll ever get a tattoo. Well played. I don't know what it would be, but it would probably... At one point in my life, I thought it would be something fake to give me street cred on a basketball court. So, like, if I had, like, on my upper arm, like, a picture of it looked like a friend, it said RIP, but the friend, would be a fake thing. And look
how
like,
would that make you badass? You just have a friend that died. A teardrop tattoo.
Well, no, but there'd be, like a basketball in there. Like, we were ballers at one point and something went wrong. I don't know.
Would that show anyone?
I don't know, but that would probably be where I would... Dude, it would be a fake RIP tattoo.
I could see you rolling up your sleeve, before you get on the court.
What would be your next tattoo?
Oh, I need to get my I have a Johnny Cash tattoo that's needed to be redone and all that stuff. So I want to get that done at some point. But I got most of my tattoos in 2010 and 2011 when everything was crazy. So I haven't really wanted to get a tattoo again. I got one with my sisters, but I don't know. Chris Fletcher next. Is this the best screening team Izzo has had, or is it more... that the officials aren't emphasizing moving screens as much this year?
It doesn't seem like there's been as many called, at least in MSU games. And I don't know if that's anywhere else. And sometimes that's the guards. Like, in fact, two of the moving screens I can think of this year were mistakes by Michigan State guards not giving,
don't coach my team.
Not giving the player time to set the screen. And I do think Sissoko is really good at it. I mean, that's the one thing he does at a high Big Ten level already. The other stuff is hit and miss, and he's had some moments, but I think the screening stuff is there.
Chris, with this one, with turnovers at a reasonably low 11 per game, considering recent years, is the attention to detail just that much better now?
It's just guys getting growing up. I mean, you still get some dumb turnovers from A.J. Hogard, but this is what happens when guards get older and when you don't have to play young guards tons of minutes. Like Trey Holloman is in a great role for him right now. He's a good defender, doesn't take dumb shots, doesn't turn the ball over, but not a lot's being asked of him, rarely more than 10 minutes in a game. And you think about a couple years ago, if Trey Holloman showed up, you'd be asking a freshman to run 20, 22 minutes a game, crunch time minutes, create offense, and that's when turnovers happen. So you get a guy in his third year, you get point guards in their third and fourth year, there shouldn't be a turnover problem, and that's basically what you're seeing.
Sparty and GL, what can the Spartans do to avoid the slow start they frequently have? Maybe have a five-on-five scrimmage for 5 minutes before the game to get them into game mode.
So I've been thinking about this because Michelle, asked this recently, and I think one of the things that's happening for this MSU team is they're not like an overwhelming talent team. They're not what you'd call matchup-proof, right? But they are versatile to some degree, more versatile when they're 100% healthy, and they can adapt to things, but it takes them a minute to figure out how they're going to have to play, what they can do against each opponent. And I think that's part of it, and that's all I can think of, because you're right, there have been some slow starts that they have sort of figured out.
Next one from Sparty. Is it bad for me to dream of where we could be right now if Imani Bates had not become a head case and had kept his MSU commitment?
You know, it would have been such a different vibe and a different energy. And you probably don't have Jaden Akins. And so it would just be different. I'm not saying it would be worse if he had, you know, obviously an extreme talent. So I don't think it's no problem dreaming with it. I just don't know if it's better, even if he had kept the commitment. Certainly he's a would have been a high-end player, but it's a totally different roster and feel.
Fart Soup next. Can we hear again just how drunk Rex Road was?
Oh, he's pretty drunk, yeah. But he held
his pants.
Held it together well. No, you wouldn't know it. That's the thing. You wouldn't know it.
Fart Soup. Jason, when can we hear the Santa Rube story again? It's right up there in the canon of holiday songs and stories. I wait for it every year.
What do you say, Santa Rube?
I was going to do it more like closer to Christmas.
Okay. We'll save it.
Yeah.
I'll
retell it, but yeah.
It's a great story. It is one of my favorites.
This is what I hate, though, is because there's so much build up, and then people are going to be like, okay.
Yeah, it gets cute.
It'll be great. Yeah. I'll get super stoned. We're going to do a Christmas show, I'm guessing.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Fart Soup with this one. Does Graham buy bad presents? I picture a lot of cabbie hats as gifts.
We don't do gifts in our family anymore, so... but I used to be a good gift giver. It got overdone in our family for a while because, you know, in my late 20s, early 30s, before I'm married, you got disposable income. You're still meeting up with your, yeah, it's just, I don't know. It got to be overwhelming. And my wife actually was the one, our first Christmas with her, she was just, I think she was a little, overwhelmed by the number of gifts. It's like, it was stressful. I'm glad we got rid of it.
So you get nothing?
We do no
gifts.
I like
gifts. A nice surprise.
We do no. Well, we'll do something for each other. But
you guys can't keep it to $200?
We do a stocking for each other. And okay. That's fun because you do have to keep something you can sort of fit in a stocking that's fun.
You do gifts.
Well, I guess we do a stocking. Yeah, that's a gift. Yeah. But that's just fun candies and maybe you put something nice in there. But yeah.
But it's nice to get a little surprise.
Sure.
I know. You're an adult and you can buy what you want, but it's nice. Someone gets you.
And I still have that kid in me that remembers how I felt knowing I was getting another one of those Dunkit basketball hoops that you put together and you could, the breakaway room in the living room or Castle Grayskull from He-Man when I was 4 or 5 years old. Those were
a box of Top Stadium Club NBA 1992 cards. That was a great day.
I mean, the anticipation, knowing that might be there, not being able to sleep the night before was incredible. It's one of it's the great thing about being a kid, right? It's hard to get that back.
That part was kind of ass, though.
Not being able to sleep.
I didn't have any melatonin back then, so I just stared at the ceiling. There's no entertainment in 1988.
No, it's true.
If you're in bed and your parents can hear you, you can't do shit. It was kind of brutal, to be honest with you, just tossing and turning.
You did. Yeah, there's a lot of tossing and turning, yeah.
Neurotic Pants, Graham, have you ever written a movie review for a newspaper? Is it possible for a journalist to make that his niche in this day and age?
It's a hard thing to get into, and I think I've done a couple of them, not well. I had a buddy in college who was...
Where are those? I want to read those.
Movies? I feel like it was in college for the Columbia College newspaper, but I don't remember for sure. My college roommate, unbelievable writer, way better than me, good editor, writes films and does things like that. He was a great movie reviewer, and what I loved about him was he understood different people have different taste. And so he didn't just... just because he didn't love something, he would sort of, he was really good at explaining who would like something. And he was also good at writing reviews without giving everything away.
Have you ever not gone to a movie after reading a movie review? Something that you saw a preview for, you said, oh, I'm interested, waited for the movie review, and you said no to it.
Never
happened to me.
Yeah, I don't read a lot of reviews because...
Same for music.
Because most people don't do them well. Most people give too much away, and I like to go in fresh. There are, like, Rotten Tomatoes. If I see something that's like, this got an audience score of 24, you're like, oh, I don't know. Maybe I don't go see
that. That's a fun game, the Rotten Tomatoes game. Yeah. All right, Neurotic Pants with this one. Jason, can you do an imitation of Graham sweet-talking a donut?
Oh, my God, donuts. I drew Monica Groovy Donuts. Juicy, fresh donuts. Oh, God. Donuts.
That was borderline disgusting.
Other people use this mic. I'm sorry. Mojo. Mojo Jojo. Just one. What was your favorite moment on the pod this past year? And from Steve, who are the 2022 Couch in the Rube Year End Award winners? The Rubies, maybe? MVP tweeter. Highlights of the Couch in the Rube Year. Low light. My vote. The mic somehow combusting, knocking over Graham's coffee onto his laptop. Very Skamil Skamazel.
I think that's right. Close.
We're going to do it.
Yeah, that's
what. Is that what it's from?
Laverne and Shirley? Yeah, hey. I was thinking. Yeah, yeah.
Should we have the Rubies?
By the way, underrated show, Laverne and Shirley. It was a good show.
No, it wasn't. It was highly rated. It was rated properly.
Okay. I liked it.
I know.
not surprised.
Shock me.
Yeah, we should. I mean, the Rubies would be fun. MVP tweeter. Because, first of all, I mean, there's the obvious. Like, Dominic is...
He makes me laugh really hard.
Yeah, he's very good, and he's very consistently good. But there are a lot of you who have had your moments, and there are a lot of you that will hit sometimes that are just fantastic. So, and highlight of the year.
That was pretty funny. See, yeah. I would need, like, a list.
To remember them? Yeah.
I can't remember off the top of my head.
I think the highlight
of these shows, I completely forget.
I think it was this past year that there was like another prison story cropped up that I was not aware of. Like, there just like were more of them. You've had a couple stories that just popped out of nowhere on a random show that were really good. That would be my highlight of the year.
Yep. You just have to go back and listen to them all. Find it. Treese up next. Have you ever experienced Madame Tussauds? It's so crazy, realistic, and extra creepy when paired with Skymint.
That should be part
have
of
have you ever been to Madame Tussauds, this museum of wax figures?
Yeah, I have not. I don't.
Dude,
yeah.
We were in Nashville, and we were at a mall, which was kind of wild because it felt like a 90s vibe because people were in a mall and actually buying shit. It was absolutely crazy. But they had a Madame Tussauds thing, and I'm like, oh, what is this? Just a scam or something? They don't have it in a mall. And Teresa's like, we're going. So she goes up. It's like $25 a ticket. My sister's with me. It's like $75. Holy shit. Anyway, Skymint totally hitting, right?
Yeah.
These things, if you catch eye contact with these fucking things, it will freak you out. Skymint is great. And believe me, being on Skymint, walking into a room, I posted a video on Twitter. It was fucking wild. Like, you felt like you were in, they had like a setting where Elvis and Johnny Cash and Jerry Lee Lewis were all in a room. It felt like you were in the fucking room. I highly recommend Ozzy Osbourne. The Ozzy Osbourne one was so lifelike. Treese was fucking scared to death to sit. I go, sit next to him. And it took her like at least 10 minutes to sit next to Ozzy Osbourne. Anyway, I highly recommend it. It was fun.
It feels like, I mean, they have one in New York. I feel like they used to have one in London, right?
They got them everywhere.
Yeah,
right?
It was just wild that it was in
a mall. I never would have guessed. We just stumbled upon it.
That also is a story we're telling presented by our friends at Midtown Brewing Company. And one of the things you can do this holiday season is support local. Support places like Midtown Brewing Company with a gift card for a friend. And it's an awesome place for a date night, for a lot of things, to watch a game, to have a beer with a friend after work. And so a Midtown Brewing Company gift card will be enjoyed by a lot of people in a lot of different ways. You can go to midtownbrewing.net to check out their menu. And to learn more about them, or you swing by 402 South Washington Avenue right here in downtown Lansing.
DB next. Couch and the Rube have a system. If you want your hot take or question read before midnight, you got to be with the in crowd. With a slew of misfit following, many of which need professional help, who makes your whack pack? Think Howard Stern.
So, I mean, here's the thing.
Lats.
Well, yeah. I mean,
he's the king.
Yeah, and there are some, and we need quality throughout the show. Like, if the first hour was, if the second hour just sucked, we wouldn't do this anymore.
So I don't think, yeah. If I were writing in, I wouldn't be mad wherever I don't know.
I do try to move people around. There's certain people that I try to put in a similar spot, you know, and every time, and they seem to like that. But
I will tell you this. It's nothing personal.
Yeah, yeah.
There's no way that
zero
we
personal.
Have that much time.
And there are times I'm going through them where I think somebody's up in the show and I grab yours early, and then the way things fall around him topic-wise, I realize toward the end
it's all
toward
Jordan,
the bottom.
It's all Jordan asked me about. He's like, dude, am I up high in the show? And I'm like, no, you're at the bottom. I'm like, with the peasants?
But the
whack pack, dude,
yeah.
It's at the end. Isn't that where you want to be, the end? Upper Deck Jerk guy's there.
Yeah, he likes it because he just listens only to the end, though. He just listens to himself. You want to mess?
I don't think Jordan wants to sit through the whole Michigan State thing either, though.
Yeah, if you want to mess with the Upper Deck Jerk guy, put him in the middle.
Tim Horton.
We wouldn't do that to you, by the way.
Tim Horton next. Name three things more painful on the Sky Mint relaxed eyes than Joey Hauser handling the basketball, besides dishes and laundry.
So
dishes and laundry are amazing on Sky Mint. I swear to God, it makes me want to do dishes.
Really?
I pop 10 MGs.
Yeah.
And I'm like, hell yeah. I clean.
I do. It is the one chore that I actually do enjoy is dishes. Now we have a dishwasher.
Well,
and that's
not talk crazy. I don't enjoy.
Well, but I feel useful. I feel like I'm good at it. Like, mostly
you have a dishwasher, though.
Yeah.
You
but even
take it and you put it in a box.
Well, yeah, but I clean them off a little bit. And I clean the kitchen. I'm good at that stuff. I'm not good at, like, folding sheets. They're always still a little bit wrinkled. You know, I'm like, oh, I suck at this. Like, I don't know.
Well, you're supposed to help each other fold those.
So the question is about big. Joey Hauser, though. I people get frustrated when he dribbles too much, and he's not a – I don't see the issue there as much as other people do. I'll say this. The man's been playing a lot of minutes, had some big shots last night, two big free throws, one big post play, and had 15 freaking rebounds.
I think it's just the fact that one play out of the game, he just looks like he's never played basketball before.
Yeah.
And that's it, right?
Yeah. I mean, no, but there's no question that
– you're just like, Jesus.
I've heard the theory that every time he takes a third dribble, there's trouble, and that's fair.
Professor, next. What do you want for Christmas?
Well, if you could have one thing for Christmas, what do you want?
Baseball cards. It's what I'm into.
Yeah.
It's my passion. I love it. It's my passion project. I love people that say that. Yeah. Nothing. I'm pretty easy. I'm not hard to figure out. Sky Mint.
Yeah.
Basketball cards.
I have no idea what I'd want.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, rookie card.
And that's fun. Those are fun gifts. Like, that's a fun hobby you have, too. I don't know. I wish I had
it.
It
is fun. I love it.
I wish I had a cool hobby like that that I knew I'd really, you know, I don't know.
It is pretty cool.
Yeah. And the thing is, it would be something sentimental or something that was.
I would like to see what you would collect.
I
would be interested.
Collect cards. Yeah. I don't know what I would. Yeah. I should give this some thought because I do need a hobby. You probably need one. Well, I mean, as I get older, I'm not going to be able to just be the wizard on the basketball court the way I've been, you know?
Professor, with this one, where do we submit GC back tattoo ideas?
You can submit them to our Twitter account. You can DM us all day.
I think we found it.
That would be a funny idea, actually, to put out what we should put out, what would be a good tattoo.
Dude, if you got caw on your back, because this man's ear is possible.
It's not happening.
Okay. Listen, I think that the audience would agree that you can get out of it with a tattoo. I vote for caw. Write in and tell us what you want. But I vote caw.
I mean, I could get like...
That would be great.
I could get like Cockburn just above my... sorry. Keep moving on.
Cockburn.
Oh, man. Jay Riemenschneider. Graham, what is your favorite type of oatmeal? Steel cut, instant maple cinnamon, etc.? Do you eat it for dinner sometimes? Please go into full detail, leaving nothing out for Jason's benefit.
I do like the steel cut. You know, I try to eat healthy, and steel cut's healthy. I try to eat healthy oatmeal.
I'll give you a story about this morning. So okay. I in part of my effort trying to eat healthy,
I make oatmeal.
Stapling your mouth shut?
No, that would be smart. Stomach you
What
now.
A zinger. All right, we're not going to hear this. It's 3 minutes long.
Thank God. Oh. No, I don't eat a lot of oatmeal anymore. I like
donuts,
a little.
It's all about donuts.
I do at hotels once in a while, and I like milk, steel cut with a, you know, a little bit of milk, and
I like milk.
Shape this one. Do you think top tier youth athletes even watch games or have pro and college team fandom loyalty anymore? I think those who didn't have aspirations of going pro still do, but not sure about high 4 and 5 star kids.
Coaches have talked about this, that their players don't watch games. Even this has changed in the last 5-6 years as much as they used to. They watch YouTube clips, they watch highlights, they don't watch full games the way they used to. So we'll see if that changes and what that matters. And I do think there is more fandom of specific players and there are specific teams with young people. I don't think it's entirely gone, but
back in my day we had to watch games on a VHS tape on tape delay.
But like if you're growing up as an NBA fan these days, it's much more player driven probably than I'm a Pistons
sorry that
fan.
You have to watch that shit product,
the NBA.
Yeah,
I don't mind the NBA.
It's a shit product compared to what we watched in the 80s and 90s. I know, the 90s were like, you know, bully basketball, but it's still awesome.
There's more talent right now in the NBA than there's ever been. It's amazing. It's unbelievable.
Don't
NBA's
ruin
good.
Our July topic.
Oh, sorry. We'll save that. Fix that in post.
Reeman Schneider. Graham, you said Michigan owns Big Ten football right now, but if Ohio State beat Michigan for national title, would it flip back? It's not a conference game, but it's with conference teams.
I don't think it would. I mean, I think when you win those two in a row and the way Michigan won them, they could lose to Ohio State in a national title game, and it would sting Michigan like crazy, and it would certainly level it out again. But Ohio State can't just beat Michigan once and flip it back. Now, it can even it out, and it needs to, but it can't. It doesn't go back. Too much has been done, and so Michigan is even with Ohio State regardless of what were to happen in this playoff. Would you agree to that?
Oh, totally. Clint, one ball, Baney. It's the 2026 Rose Bowl, and you can activate two past Spartan running backs in their prime. Which two do you pick? Lorenzo White, Blake Ezor, TJ Duckett, Tico Duckett, Kenneth Walker, Jr., Clinton Jones. Bonus points if you pick the man who I was named after Jesus, or Javon Ringer.
So I'm glad this is asked now and not a year ago, because a year ago I was holding off on the Kenneth Walker stuff. Like the idea that is recency bias, right? Is what you worry about?
Yeah.
But it's Kenneth Walker. Like, to me,
You have to pick two, right?
Oh, I have to pick two. So it would be Kenneth Walker and probably.
I got to go Blake Ezor.
You go Ezor? I'd probably go TJ.
I love Ezor.
You give me Kenneth Walker and TJ Duckett in the same backfield. I don't think anybody in the world is stopping them at the college level.
I would take Ezor and Clinton Jones.
Okay.
Because it's Clint's name. Next one from one ball. Will MSU's transfers coming in be an upgrade to those leaving or be a wash? We know Mel will only transfer in Power 5 transfers.
Well, that's not necessarily true. I mean, the UNLV, Jacoby Windman was not a Power 5 transfer. But the key is to, and I think there's value in the lower levels because there's always a reason somebody's transferring. And so if they want to transfer, if they become a star at a lower level and they want to play at a Power 5, then that kid culturally in your program and doing all the things to get where they needed to go and maximize themselves is probably a better fit than somebody who somewhere hasn't quite lived up or had some issues and left. I would argue going outside the Power 5 makes more sense. I think what's more important is, regardless of the level, is how quickly you evaluate and you get them on campus. They need it to be an upgrade. They need a good year in that portal right now to make next year's roster competitive.
Next one from Clint. Will TCU beat the Varmints?
I don't think so. I don't think Michigan's not as healthy as they've been. They're not quite the team they were without Corum. And I
would take the 7.5 though.
Would you?
TCU.
Yeah, they've been in a lot of close games. Yeah, I don't think TCU gets steamrolled by any means. But I don't know if I'd take this. I think that line is about right. That's the problem with it.
I know. Last one from Clint. Rube, fuck, marry, kill.
Rosie O'Donnell, Mama June, Mama Cass, and Courtney Love. Oh, I'd marry Courtney Love. I love Courtney Love. I'd kill Rosie, and I'd lay down on top of Mama June.
There you have it.
Tyrone Couch next. How do you celebrate Christmas, Kwanzaa, Hanukkah, Festivus, whatever you do? I imagine a lot of groovy donuts in Hallmark for Graham, and I like that plan.
You would not be wrong.
That's your future son telling you that.
My wife and I were just talking about what we were going to do, movie-wise this weekend.
You guys talk about it? Like, yeah. You game plan what movies?
Yeah, because not all the Hallmark movies are good. Like, I like Hallmark movies, but you, there's a lot of shitty ones. And so you want it, when there's a couple good ones, you want to...
You need a hobby.
You save them. I do need a hobby. But I will say, Groovy Donuts will absolutely be part of my Christmas and probably part of this weekend. And a reminder, some holiday favorites back, the Snowman and the White Chocolate Candy Cane Bar, gluten-free and vegan options, of course, available for each of these. And back by popular demand, Groovy Donuts will have the dark chocolate candy cane old fashioned as well. Visit groovydonuts.com. Click the online store to order yours. And Groovy Donuts is open again 7 a.m., 1 p.m., Sunday through Thursday. That's on Lake Lansing Road in East Lansing and in Williamston.
So do you guys write them down? Like
sometimes.
What you're going to watch?
So there's, by the way, there's a really funny Hallmark game. I missed this to do a show. We did last Thursday's show, and I mentioned this. My wife was at a Hallmark holiday party, and there's a, if you don't think you'd like a Hallmark movie, but you want to have some fun with it, play Hallmark. You can download, you can print these off. Hallmark movie, Christmas movie, bingo. And like, because all the movies are similar, right? It's always small town, guy at home who works, on a farm, and girl comes home from the big city where she's an architect, and they
sounds like a porn I watched earlier.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's very, very similar to porn without the porn. They use a lot of the same words. If this happens, you X off and you play bingo with a lot of the phrasings and sayings and situations that happen in a lot of the different movies. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. You get a little Hallmark bingo movie night. It's a great. My man card is gone. Isn't
we just
it?
Live different lives.
We do.
It's wild.
We do.
Tyrone Couch, is it wrong for me to be happy that we still have football recruiting to keep me entertained? During the Hoops game, I took my wife to Chick-fil-A, read the 24/7 recruiting updates, yearned for some couch in the room, then watched the last 10 minutes. I'm ready for August.
No, I think there's nothing wrong with that. People
can't
like
talk about August in December, though. It's a killer.
It's a long way off.
Yeah, I know.
And the Lions are still going to win the Super Bowl this year. What do you need next year for, right? So there's that.
Yeah.
But people like what they like. And as much, as I push soccer is something I enjoy, I don't care if anybody else. I'm not,
You just care what people root for. You bust their balls about rooting for.
That I do, actually. Yeah.
Their soccer club.
Well, that I have an issue with. Yeah, that's legitimate.
Tyrone Couch with this one. What would Jason's stage name be if he were A, a rapper, B, a porn star, C, a stripper, D, Manti Te'o's catfish? Mine would be Papa Chango, Daddy Monkey in English, for all of the above.
You're a rapper.
MC Dry Mouth.
Okay.
I get dry mouth during this fucking show. Porn star.
MC Dry Mouth.
Roberto Mule.
Oh, I like it. Yeah. A stripper.
Nobody wants to see that. Nobody.
That'll be your name, too.
Manti Te'o's girlfriend, Millie Bobby Brown.
Love it. Love it.
He would fall for it. Nick Palmer, next. Thoughts on Western Michigan's new coach and the direction of the football program?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know anything about this guy. He was a Louisville offensive coordinator. My only concern is the athletic director. And what will help him is the athletic director, Dan Bartholomew, who hired Dwayne Stevens as well. It's his guy, like Dwayne Stevens would, that helps. He's an ambitious guy who used the word playoff when describing the ambitions of Western Michigan football. Always dangerous. And in the MAC, one of the big problems they have is ambitious administrators looking to move up with unrealistic expectations based on resources. And so I don't know. Hopefully they get it growing. But I really don't have any information.
Rollerblade stud next. Is there any other NCAA player to get a felony charge and not serve some form of suspension? I can't think of one.
Well, Mozzie Smith did not get a felony charge, as it turned out. He pled to something else. So, but
what was the original charge a felony?
Yeah, but it's a fair point. There's perhaps been one, but I don't pay attention to a lot of other places. This is certainly something that's been in front of us. I can't. It's a fair question. What they should have done, in my opinion, is when the information was there for Michigan, is suspend him for one game. And had they done that initially and had him sit out a game, I think a lot of this would feel a lot different.
Bo McJunkins next. Mozzie Smith wasn't a threat to anyone on campus. Yeah, normal everyday people speed through 25-mile-per-hour zones at 50 late at night, carrying an excessive amount of ammo. How has Kevin Warren not stepped in here?
I don't think he is. Now that it's a misdemeanor.
Those don't count.
Well, you're not going to see the Big Ten office step in for a misdemeanor. No, never. Nah. Wouldn't happen.
Why?
Yeah, do I think that Michigan has handled this a little bit hypocritically? I mean, it'd be one thing if Michigan was, if Jim Harbaugh and Ward Manuel were handling this the way they are, and they had sort of turned the other cheek, so to speak, with the Michigan State players. That's not how it was, right? So that's the problem. It's the hypocrisy in the response and the intensity of the response. And my problem with Harbaugh's response is not even so much that night. I mean, that night, I didn't like that he was pushing charges. I didn't like it, and all that stuff felt a little calculated. I didn't like that. But what I really didn't like is the next day on Monday.
That was it.
When he had a chance and he doubled down. And you
because after a game, you can forgive someone for losing your shit.
And the emotions of it, yeah.
Yeah. Bo McJunkins, how does Ward Manuel never have to answer for anything outside of statements penned for him? Dude can put down his 7-Eleven donut, not as good as Groovy Donuts, to run for MSU player discipline, but crawls in his gopher hole when it's his guys. Still haven't commented on his car being wrecked.
Now, there's no question that, I mean, he also looks like a bit of a boob here, and there's no question about it. I don't know how to answer that for you.
He's got a stupid looking face.
Jesus, Graham, can't say that here. Just say it off air. Bo McJunkins, why is the Michigan student newspaper reporter at a school without a journalism degree holding Michigan more accountable than Wojo?
I wish Wojo would have written a column on this. I know he tweeted about it, but
that's good enough.
Yeah, it's not. And there's no question, and it's props to the U of M student newspaper reporter for having the stones to write what he thought. And I don't think you should tell people what to think either. If you don't believe this is an issue, or you think Michigan handled something all correctly, then you should write that too. But you should write something.
Some dude next. Graham Couch, do you promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
What happened with Brian Windhorst and Joe Rexroad?
That's not his question. His question.
Some dude. If A.J. Hogard got arrested today for anything whatsoever, would it be reported in every newspaper in the state within 24 to 48 hours? Simply a report of the arrest itself, regardless of charges, guilt, etc.
It depends if people knew about it, and probably not. I mean, when you look at a lot of situations, and I've been asked about this, like the L.J. Fuck the microphone again. Oh, man. Damn it.
Yes.
Oh, and the screwing all the way over there, too.
Oh, my God. God is real.
Hold on.
Oh, man. You want to take a break?
Yeah, let's take a break. We'll be right back. Couch in the Room, presented by SkyMint Premium Cannabis and Firekeepers Casino and iCasino and Sportsbook app.
Hopcat exists at the intersection of great beer and delicious food, complemented by music, art, community, and comfort. Home to a best-in-class beer experience served by craft beer experts. Guests can expect a casual, inviting local gathering place with some of the best damn burgers and fries you'll find in Michigan. Hopcat is proud to be an official sponsor of Peyton Thorne. Show your Spartan pride by ordering the iconic Peyton Thorne Burger, created by the man himself. There is no better place to watch any Michigan State game other than the 50-yard line at Spartan Stadium. Stop by any of our locations, East Lansing, Detroit, Grand Rapids, Ann Arbor, Kalamazoo, and Holland. To plan your next trip to Hopcat, visit hopcat.com. If you're looking for a relaxed vibe, great food, and an outstanding beer selection, Midtown Brewing Company in downtown Lansing is your place.
Enjoy their famed chicken and waffle fries, fish and chips, or any of their delicious burgers or salads. Midtown Brewing Company also offers 40-plus beers on tap, including ciders and seasonal offerings and daily happy hour specials. The spacious and cozy vibe makes Midtown Brewing Company a perfect place for a beer with a friend, a work lunch, or to watch the games on its big screen TVs. If you'd rather eat at home, Midtown Brewing Company offers a terrific carryout menu and free delivery on orders of $20 or more. Visit MidtownBrewingCompany.net or stop by 402 South Washington in downtown Lansing for the Midtown Brewing Company experience. Ever wondered just how comfortable you can be? Find out with Muskox High Quality Flannels. Muskox is a Detroit-based company that creates durable comfort that'll last a lifetime. Muskox flannels are thoughtfully designed with 100% cotton that is ethically sourced and double brushed for softness. This will be the softest flannel you'll ever buy, guaranteed. For every $100 purchase, Muskox will donate $10 to the Alaska Wildlife Conservation Center. Get comfortable this fall and winter with Muskox flannels. Learn more or order yours today at GoMuskox.com.
When it's your moment, that once-in-a-lifetime moment, you don't just want jewelry. You can get that anywhere. You want a memory that will go down in history, your moment. We're Medawar, crafted with exquisite style, quality, and love, so your present will be stunning every time you look at it, every time someone notices it, and they will notice. We've devoted our lives to this art, and we're proud to share it with you. The gift you want to give is here.
Medawar Jewelers in Lansing, Ogemis, Jackson, Portage, and Brighton.
Firekeepers Online Casino and Sportsbook is the site to play. Get your Vegas on right now from your phone, tablet, or laptop. All the hottest slots and tables, plus sports betting featuring in-game wagering. Download the app at firekeeperscasino.com. Go with the name you know. Firekeepers. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and located in Michigan. Gambling problem? Call the Michigan Problem Gambling Helpline at 1-800-270-7117.
Find Couch in the Rude podcasts on Spreaker, iTunes, iHeartRadio, Spotify, YouTube, Facebook, Google Podcasts, CastBox, and the Rude's favorite podcast addict.
Is your mic working?
Yeah, Couch in the Rube, presented by Skymon Premium Cannabis.
Didn't we just read something earlier?
What's
about
that?
The mic falling down being the moment of the year?
Yeah, yeah. No, we got another one.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
2-in-1 year.
Please, no one clip that.
And
don't go to Facebook Live and get the video or YouTube. Please don't.
And also, our Thursday night show brought to you by our friends at Firekeepers Casino and the Firekeepers iCasino and Sportsbook. Download the app today. Don't bet Iowa State basketball like I did tonight, and you'll feel better, and you'll have a chance to make some money. Great promotions and all sorts of cool stuff with Firekeepers when you sign up there on the Firekeepers iCasino and Sportsbook app. Okay, back to some dude who would and the mic, I think, I don't trust it. You know, it's that thing right now where I think it's going to hold. But some dude said if A.J. Hogarth got arrested yesterday for anything whatsoever, would it be reported in every newspaper in the state within 24 to 48 hours, regardless of whether there were charges and other things. I tried to look back and find some examples of when news came out. Charges usually follow quickly. Like the L.J. Scott situation, there were charges. And I don't believe there was a story beforehand. Now, I think in this case, there might have been something, or at least pressure questions about it. You know, and I do think, I don't want to say that the ball was dropped, but you hear something that something had happened and you're busy and you don't follow up, I guess.
So is that a yes or no?
No, I do not think that there would necessarily, if there were no charges, it was just an arrest for something. I don't necessarily know that we would, I don't think there would be 24 to 48 hours. I don't think there would.
All right.
I mean,
entitled to your opinion.
Yeah, I could be wrong on that, but I'm just, yeah. Look, do I, yeah. Yeah.
I'm just waiting for the mic to fall again.
Yeah, me too.
Some dude was Mozzie Smith arrested on October 7th, 2022. Did random morons on Twitter know about his about this the week after it happened? Answer is yes. And by the way, was the arrest not even reported by anyone until mid-November when charges were released? It reported after the arrest. Would that have forced certain people in Ann Arbor to deal with it and make them uncomfortable?
If the charge, if it was reported just after the arrest, it would have been a different scenario. And again, I don't know what the I don't know what was going on in every newsroom and with every reporter and all that stuff. I just don't know. I mean, I don't know what to tell you here. I don't believe it was an intentional cover up by Michigan media, by people covering Michigan. I don't. That doesn't mean the ball wasn't dropped to some degree. Certainly, I think the Michigan should have handled it better. But it's been covered pretty extensively since. It's not like he has got off scot-free in terms of his reputation and other things like that. So I don't know. I don't know what to say.
Some dude, finally, is there not a proverbial blue wall? No further questions, Your Honor.
Appreciate you, some dude.
There is.
I do not think there is a blue wall the way most people imagine it. Do I think there is over time certainly been...
Name a sports writer that you've been critical of, other than maybe Lowe's. Well,
I've just mentioned, I think Wojo has been is certainly leans Michigan. There's no question about that.
Okay.
And I've said that. And Mitch Albom leans Michigan. And although he wrote...
Looks
you know,
like the blue wall starting.
Well, but those are columnists.
Guys are pretty big.
But if you look at the who's running those operations, there are a lot of Michigan State grads. It's not necessarily that way. But I think, you know, this goes back decades to the idea of the, you know, the Big Two, Little Eight, or whatever, when it was the Big Ten, and all this, and sort of the way people view Michigan and Ohio State being treated. And have there been double standards? Have there been, it's possible. I haven't been around forever. It was, I don't think the blue wall is an intentional thing. But it doesn't mean everything's always covered equally.
Cucker Tarlson next. Obviously, Harbaugh is a weird guy. We've all heard the stories, but is he truly, deep down, a total sack of shit?
I don't know the man personally. I'm not a huge fan of a few things he's done in terms of the way he's treated people. When I've been around, my sense of the way he's handled this situation, the way he handled the MSU situation, bothers me a little bit.
He's got a stupid looking face.
I didn't say that. So I don't know if he's a total sack of shit is probably a bit too far. I don't know if I'm a huge fan of the man.
Dark Mantonio next.
And frankly, I think a lot of people who stick up for him because he wins football games would not be huge fans of him if he were not a football coach, if he were just somebody else in their lives who behaved the way he does at certain times. Hmm. Does that make sense?
It did, yeah.
And I think there are a lot of football coaches by the way. I think there are a lot of football coaches who you wouldn't love, a lot of coaches you wouldn't love if they were not making your team win.
Well, yeah. That's what people want to do, though, win, right? I mean.
Right, but you overlook, maybe you act like somebody's this kind, perfect person because they win for you. Like, take that out of the equation. And I guarantee you, Jim Harbaugh has redeeming qualities. People are complex, so the idea that he's a total sack of shit, I think, is probably a bit much.
Yeah. Next one from Dark. People on here call Harbaugh, Aiden, Ward, Jawan, Hunter, even Solari, all sorts of nasty, derogatory, demeaning names.
Like total sack of shit.
But I say, kind of don't like the older sounding guy on the Final Four is not on the schedule, and I'm silenced. What is this, Graham? Russia? Are you a dictator?
This is not a democracy, this podcast. No, I'm kidding. We put everything on here, and this ran. The reason this did not run in the hot takes, by the way, is, Darkman, you had a great second hot take. This was your third hot take last time, and I brought this up. And it would have overshadowed, we weren't going to answer multiple ones. It would have overshadowed your second take, which was really, really good, and I wanted to get into. So sometimes we cut them. Like, if one is better than the others, or that sometimes happens. It was never an intentional silencing, and certainly we ran it eventually here.
He's got a stupid-looking face. Jesus, man. Hans Juergen next. I say MSU football isn't going to win until we get a running back who can break tackles or a dynamic quarterback who can make plays. Oops. This is a hot take. Wrong show.
I don't think running back was a problem for them this year. I don't. I think it... There were some games where they weren't impressive, but I thought all of the running backs, even Broussard is no longer around, was okay late. But I think Berger and Elijah Collins were pretty good. I mean, they weren't Kenneth Walker, and they weren't Blake Corum, who's an elite running back, but they were really good. And I don't think that was the issue for them. And but there's no question that you got to have playmakers at a fairly elite level to be an elite team. But I think if Michigan State had Michigan's offensive line, which is a lot, Michigan's offensive line is arguably the best in the country. But if Michigan, and we'll find out a lot when they play Georgia too, because that defensive front will be that'll be fun to watch. But well, it may not be fun for people to watch, but it'll be interesting to watch, I should say. But if you put Michigan's offensive line on Michigan State this year, that offense I think would have hummed along, and Peyton Thorne would look a lot better than he did, and the running backs you'd think a lot more of, and the receivers would have had better years than they did. The whole thing, the whole operation would have gone pretty well.
Next one from Hans Graham. Wouldn't no one care about Mozzie Smith's gun charge if Go Blow had lost to both MSU and OSU? Jason, do you believe the blue wall is just a media conspiracy, or is it a statewide effort at the highest levels of state government and law enforcement? I just think there's a blue wall. I don't think.
Somebody I
just do believe.
Somebody I know and respect described it as more a blue curtain. Like it's more like it's a little more flimsy, but there's some, you know what I mean? Like it's not really a wall. Like wall sounds like this is just straight up propaganda from
so there is a blue wall.
I didn't say that. You know, and I think
so there's a curtain.
I think one of the challenges is a lot of the people who are, you know, and there are a lot of reasonable smart fans in here, but there's also a segment of Michigan State fans that are very much pushing whatever narrative fits them as well, you know, and so I don't want to get into this anymore. Let's keep moving on.
Three segments. Next one from Mons. Do you think all of MSU's Big Ten games will be within 10 points? Seems like there is more parity in the NCAA basketball than ever.
You get the home court feel good games. Everybody's going to get run out of the gym. I don't know, everybody. Purdue might not, you know, Illinois might not, but most people are going to get run out of the gym by 20 points at some point in the Big Ten season. Just happens. You hit the, you know, you come out with a rough start. Somebody's hitting threes. It's a Saturday afternoon. Their student sections is hopping. That's going to happen throughout the league, I think. We saw that last year for Michigan State at Rutgers. You hit a game. And so, but I think most of them will be really close. It's going to be one of those years, which is a nightmare for the three quick takes, by the way.
Next one from Hans. Graham, if a Dunkin' Donuts opened in your neighborhood, would you poop in their toilet and not flush out of some bizarre loyalty to Groovy Donuts?
No, I would just...
Upper Decker.
I might. You know what I would do is I would go to Groovy Donuts. I would buy like an assortment of 24 Groovy Donuts. And I would go outside of Dunkin' Donuts and I would offer them free as a comparison. And I would just basically put them out of business.
No Upper Decker? All right. Jake. I'm all for college athletes having more nights or more rights, but what's your take on over 1,000 college football players in the transfer portal? Not going to lie, it's kind of ridiculous, especially with kids transferring out of programs after their very first year.
Yeah, and kids are generally unhappy after the first year. I mean, I liked the idea by Matt Painter that you couldn't leave till after your sophomore year. You could leave. Anybody can leave. They should have all the rights in the world, but you'd have to sit out if you left after your freshman year. And again, sitting out is not a punishment. And a free year of college is not a punishment. A free year of all the stuff that comes in is not a punishment. And I think this is one of the great mistakes. I don't, you know, I think part of the problem is we had all these waivers and all this. Sitting out is not a punishment. And I think that was a huge mistake not to get a, like they, the volleyball players should have to sit out, and they've never had to. Like all everybody, if you're going to transfer and you're a scholarship athlete, and there should be exceptions for, you know, your coach leaves, you can go. All that sort of stuff. You graduate, you can go. But I just think, you know.
It's going to be hard to keep up. I mean, rightfully so, they gave the Virginia players another year too.
And that's only a few guys.
Sure.
It really is, only a few guys. Because everybody's still got their COVID year. So it's very few people.
That's
almost,
what I mean, like COVID year.
Yeah. And that's the other thing. That'll help cycle itself out. What we basically need to happen, though, and sometimes things have to course correct themselves. We just need, you know, I think we need 5 years of, you know, 500 kids transferring and getting left out in the cold. And it sucks for those kids, but that's got to be the harsh reality that's learned that, you know, and I don't know, maybe the lesson won't get learned, but maybe that eventually over time. I do think you should have to treat your players well. You should have to, you know, people shouldn't have to be somewhere if they're miserable. But again, transferring and sitting out a year, you know, shouldn't be. That should help you. It should help you in life. It should help you academically. It should help you in a lot of ways. The problem we have is we have a system where we've created college basketball is the minor leagues. But I'm 100% for let kids go straight to the pros out of high school. Let them play in the G League. Let them play in Europe. If you want to be in college basketball, then and if you want to transfer, you sit out of here unless there are other circumstances.
Next one from Jake. Thoughts on Brittany Griner finally coming back home?
It's great. Obviously there's, she wasn't alone.
Was Matt Millen in charge of this trade? Am I right?
Yeah.
The merchant of death. Imagine being traded for the merchant of death. So what does that mean? Is that Russian dude going to go back and start handing out guns to everyone now?
Jesus. Yeah. I mean,
we couldn't get a 2-for-1 for the merchant of death.
Yeah. The Paul Whelan.
You imagine that if you're that guy, you're just like, oh shit.
It sucks. I think they
wish I would have played basketball.
They view him as a spy, which is a different level. I don't know. It's not great. It sucks. But yeah, I mean, I'm happy for Brittany Griner.
I can't wait till the first interview. It's going to be fascinating. Next one from Hawk. Does Malik Hall have any eligibility left, or is this his last year?
He definitely has the COVID year. So he can, I think Malik Hall will probably play next year. He's a 6'8". Versatile guy. He's not, a likely NBA prospect. He would have to really do some things at a pretty consistent level in his game to get there, and would probably need another year to do that. I think he's likely to make a lot of money in Europe, but he's got another year. And I think the injury probably adds to the likelihood that he wants to have a healthy final year and see where that takes him. So my guess is he's back another year.
Next one from Jake. If you say that MSU isn't a hard sell for Mel Tucker as far as recruiting goes, what do you think his pitch is? Given how this past football season went.
So a couple things. One, it is still. I think how you connect with kids is more important than the pitch. Like, what is Michigan State's program right now? And I also think you can say if you're Mel Tucker, look, by the time you're here, if you're recruiting kids in 2020 who'll be freshmen this coming year, next year, or in 2 years, by the time you're playing, we're going to be good, you can say. And so I think there's that this is just a blip. I think there's probably, you can say that, look, these other coaches that are recruiting you, do you know how long they'll be there? I've got a 10-year contract making $9.5 million a year. I'm going to be here. I'm going to be your guy. And I think there's some benefit to that. So I think there are things he can sell. And obviously, if what mattered most in recruiting was how many games you won the year before, it would be tough. I mean, you got to be better than that. You got to be better as a salesman.
Next one from Jake. What do you think of the new work that's been done on 496 in Lansing? Like how they replace the grass median with concrete barriers and high-rise lamps. Do you think it makes the road in the city of Lansing look better?
I haven't driven down it much because the exits haven't been open. So, I need to get off exit 5 to get home. And so I went down once, and I realized I couldn't get off the exit and I had to go way past and turn around. It was needed to be done. Been a long summer with it, but I'm happy they've redone 496. Looking forward to having no construction down there.
Upper Deck Jerk Guy next. Is Deion just going to fill up on players from the transfer portal and win the Pac-8?
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how many guys he brings in, how quickly he tries to do it. Deion Sanders is I heard somebody call him on another podcast, and I forget which podcast it was, a disruptor to the system, so to speak. And you think Mel Tucker has an edge with, I think Deion Sanders will be somebody who is somebody that players are really attracted to playing for early on. And we'll see if that sticks.
And if you're a Colorado fan, how great is that?
Oh, it's amazing.
Your team is just complete ass, and you get Deion to come in and hopefully save the day.
And he may only be there 4 or 5 years, by the time he leaves, if you're relevant in football again, you're fine. That's what you want. Yep.
Next one from Jerk Guy. How many free agents will Tuck sign? Sorry, meant transfer portal players.
Yeah, I don't, that's a good question. I think because there are some caps on things. My guess is it's under 12, though. I don't think it'll be as heavy as it was the first year.
Next one from Jerk Guy. Why do birds suddenly appear every time you're near?
Appreciate your prediction.
Next one from the Jerk Guy. Do you know of anyone who suffers from arachnophobia?
Hold on, give me some Hoff. Let's see what this is. It's a fear of peanut butter sticking to the roof of one's mouth. Interesting. What a fear. What a phobia.
How many people have that?
Yeah, like how? I mean, I've had.
If it gets stuck to the top of your body, like you just freak out.
Yeah, I mean,
like
I don't
Rain
know.
Rain Man.
Like how stuck does it get? It's peanut butter, right? Like I've had like a Nowalator or something stick to you up like that when I was a kid. But
did you panic?
No, it was not a phobia of mine.
Ever swallow your gum?
Sure.
Because it would stay in your stomach for 12 years.
Yeah, I heard 7 years. They told you 12?
Yeah.
I don't know if that's, I don't know if
that's
real or
Mike
not.
That's what Mike Salas told me in, third grade or fourth grade.
Yeah, it's amazing the information. That would be a funny thing. All the dumbest shit you were told as an elementary school kid by your friends to do that segment. That's a good July topic.
Three segments. Next one from Jerk Guy. Has Jason ever had a loaded gun in his car with extra clips? No, there was two things early on that I knew that were never going to be in my life. Kids and guns. I respect guns. I've shot guns before. I enjoyed it back in the day, but now I have grizzly bear spray. That's what's protecting the house.
Yeah, I don't.
I'm in the house. I'm going grizzly bear spray. On you.
I'm the same way. Don't. I'm not. I've shot a gun and I still to this day think that I hit the target with my shot. It was not a person. It was like a target thing out in a...
You didn't shoot at a person.
I didn't shoot at a person. So, yeah, people shouldn't know that.
Lastly, does Izzo, from the Jerk Guy, does Izzo know what he's... Is he... What? Jesus, fuck. Upper Deck Jerk Guy. Does Izzo know what he is doing, or does a random Twitter dude know more?
Oh, random Twitter knows way more than Izzo, without question. I think we've proven that. Absolutely proven over the last few years. And this is why Izzo stays off Twitter, whatever.
The game passed him by?
The game is completely passing by. Completely passing by. The guy doesn't know what he's doing. Random Twitter dude. We appreciate all of you. Great Groovy Donut Twitter questions. Fantastic.
Order shirts, too.
Oh, shit. We were supposed to...
go ahead. Just say it.
Yeah, I'll put it on Facebook and I'll put it on Twitter. Couch in the Rube Christmas shirts available. I apologize. That was going to be something I was going to do.
This is how
today.
We should promote everything.
We'll go back and we'll fix it and post. It'll be up. It'll be on social media and we'll push it out during Sunday's show. Appreciate Groovy Donuts. Appreciate Firekeepers Casino. Appreciate Skyman. Thank you, Hopcat. Good show, man.
Yeah, man.
Couch in the Rube.
Oh, shit.